Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Massive announcement at DFW. $4 billion project. DFW expecting more than 100 million passengers by the end of this decade, and it's growing faster than they planned, so they're making some changes. And yep, American Airlines is involved.
Terminal F should open in 2027, but it'll now have 31 gates instead of just 15. Fort Worth Mayor Maddie Parker says DFW will soon pass Chicago to become the third biggest metro area in the country.
And it's not lost on me, or frankly anyone here today, about the critical importance that Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport has meant to the growth and success of everyone in North Texas.
American Airlines will spend $4 billion and run the gates in Terminal F. Chief Executive Robert Isom says they're signing another lease at DFW through 2043.
That's going to deliver a modern and an efficient experience for our customers. So we're in it together for a long time.
A larger Terminal F means it'll also have a parking garage and security instead of having to check in at another terminal and take SkyLink to your gate. At DFW Airport, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson says this new terminal is going to be a signature addition to the airport, offering exceptional service to travelers from all around the world.
Uber plans to roll out its next generation of driverless cars, and it's going to be in Arlington.
Uber partnered with autonomous vehicle technology company May Mobility, announcing the national deployment. May Mobility CEO Ed Olson says Arlington was an easy decision.
Existing experience. We've operated an earlier version of our vehicles there for quite a few years and had a great relationship with the local regulators.
Their cars use radar and light detecting and ranging LIDAR, as well as 360-degree vision.
And it's the only AV technology in the world that is actively imagining the thousands of things that might happen next and contingency planning over all of those to find something that is going to be safe.
The rollout is set for late this year. In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Parker County Sheriff giving more details in that triple murder west of DFW.
Sheriff Russ Authier says they believe the suspects and victims knew each other, and this came down to drugs. He says the two main suspects, 19-year-old Barrett Copeland and 27-year-old Trent Lawrence McKnight, originally implicated someone else who they then admitted had nothing to do with it. He's confident they have the right people.
Those two have confessed. Those confessions all have been corroborated. I won't tell you what's in the confessions, but we believe we're there.
A third person, 18-year-old Michael Dylan Lee Morris, was arrested in connection with the disposal of the three bodies. 44-year-old Tiffany Williams, her husband, 42-year-old David Walker, and their roommate, 55-year-old Robbie Head, were killed. From the 24-hour news center, Eric Bushman, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Although this one took a while.
Yeah.
It took about 3 weeks, I guess.
We're right, man.
Not really a big surprise either.
But Vegas should recognize us some way monetarily, I think, if we threw some money down.
Mike Waltz is out.
Yeah.
The president's national security advisor. This is the guy who set up the whole Signal group chat that included the editor of The Atlantic.
The Atlantic.
He's a goner. He is.
Now, we predicted this kind of a few days after it happened. He would be the sacrificial lamb.
To be fair, a lot of other people did too. But yeah. He's gone, along with his top deputy, Alec Wong. This is being reported by numerous outlets this morning.
The only, I guess, difference in the reporting is some say he resigned, others say he was fired. Either way, he probably was shown the door one way or another.
CBS just said he's leaving.
Okay.
So that
he won't be there anymore.
It may be one of those quit or be fired things.
That's right.
You know,
we'll accept your resignation and put it on our desk by one this afternoon.
And he was a congressman from Florida.
That's right.
He was on national security advisor, and he's about to be out of work because of his lack of social media skills.
And Signal, I'm like, okay, guys, I know that Signal was already apparently downloaded to all their phones. Just don't use it anymore. Let's just get rid of this thing.
Got to be something a little more secure than that.
Apparently.
Mike Waltz out. There's going to be a lot more on that. The president himself, meanwhile, he's still talking about the economy. Polls show a growing number of Americans getting impatient with the president's economic agenda, especially in light of that bad report this week on the gross domestic product. But the president himself is still saying, give it time.
At a two-hour cabinet meeting, President Trump insisted his predecessor is to blame for the falling GDP.
And I have to start off by saying that's Biden. That's not Trump, because we came in on January, this is the quarterly numbers.
Trump did not stop there.
You could even say the next quarter is sort of Biden, because it doesn't just happen on a daily or an hourly basis.
But the numbers also show inflation is slowing while consumer spending sped up, with a rush to beat anticipated price hikes and supply shortages linked to tariffs. Trump had a solution for that.
Maybe the children will have $2 instead of $30.
On Capitol Hill, it was not only Democrats who criticized the president.
This is not Joe Biden's economy, Donald. It is your economy. It is the Trump economy.
So did Republican Senator Rand Paul.
Tariffs are taxes, plain and simple. Tariffs don't punish foreign governments, they punish American families.
But Trump argues his tariff policy is already working. Yesterday, he hosted the CEOs of several companies that have announced new investments in America, including Johnson & Johnson, Eli Lilly, IBM, and NVIDIA.
Without the president's leadership, frankly, manufacturing in the United States wouldn't have accelerated to this pace.
Last night, former Vice President Kamala Harris, who has not ruled out another run for the White House, made her most extensive remarks since leaving office.
Some people are describing what's been happening in recent months as absolute chaos. And it's certainly true of those tariffs. Tariffs that, as I predicted, are clearly inviting a recession.
Senate Republicans narrowly voted down a Democratic resolution Wednesday aimed at blocking Trump's tariffs.
There's some good news for the president, though. This minerals deal that they've announced with Ukraine that is going to help the U.S. get some of those rare earth minerals. The president says that'll help pay back some of the money that we have contributed to Ukraine.
We want American support. We need line our pockets a little bit here. We want some of those minerals, buddy.
Right now, 5 million Americans are in default on their student loans, with another 4 million near default. Wayne Johnson, former chief operating officer at the Education Department's Office of Financial Aid. He's one of the FAFSA guys, and he says there could be some unintended consequences here.
Well, the intended effect is to aggressively go after the $1.6 trillion that student loan borrowers owe. The unintended consequence is that 5 million people starting next week are going to get hit with a freight train, another 5 million by November, so we'll be up to 10 million. And this time next year, there'll be 20 million people being subject to Treasury offset, which includes garnishing wages, which includes taking money out of people's Social Security checks, which means seizing their tax refund checks. So there's quite a bit of, let's say, personal financial impact that's about to happen. President Trump certainly took the right course of action by making people aware that after 5 years, you've got to start repaying or meeting your obligations under your loans. However, the government is not prepared to deal with the fact that many, many people want to repay. They just don't know how to make the contact and establish their improved status. But so the bottom line is, We got a whole bunch of people right now that are running scared. They've been not having to make any payments, not even have to be in contact, not even have to acknowledge that they exist for 5 years. And now they're being told that if you, and many of them aren't, by the way, about 75% of the people are not making any payments at all and can't even be contacted. So the net result is we're about to see a financial impact like I don't think we've seen in a long time at a personal level.
You said the government is not prepared. Is that because of cuts to the Department of Education? Can you elaborate?
It has nothing to do with the cuts at the Department of Education. The Office of Federal Student Aid, of which I was the chief operating officer, administers contracts. And really, what it really boils down to is to the contractors. There are six servicers. There's five other organizations that support that. Do they have the people in place to handle the calls? And I got reports earlier this week that people were waiting 10 hours. And after 10 hours, more than 50% of those people were still hanging up. So the administration did a fantastic job of saying, hey, you got to try and reach people, try and reach the department and take action. But the servicers are just not prepared, and they don't even have the capacity, and it'll take a long, long, long time for the reach capacity.
And now, in addition to withholding federal benefits and garnishing wages, the feds say they're also, this may be the worst part of all, they're also going to be reporting anyone who still can't or won't pay to all the big credit bureaus.
It's like taking out a big loan or it's running up a credit card bill. You got to start paying eventually.
Pay it back at some point. The best advice, if you still have an outstanding federal student loan, you need to get on your lender's website today. It's one of those contractors that he was talking about. And find out when your next payment is due.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.